Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. One of the great challenges to the neo-Darwinists is the Cambrian explosion of diverse life that appears in the fossil record. Where did the sudden diversity of life come from, and how could such a distinct variety of life evolve separately so fast? Darwinists were hoping that pre-Cambrian microfossils would provide the answers and show the transitional evolution they'd envisioned. However, pre-Cambrian fossilized evidence studied by researchers at the University of Bristol, the Swedish Museum of Natural History, and others did not provide the evidence Darwinists were looking for. The story was in Science Daily. Here to talk about it with me is Casey Luskin of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Casey, let's start with why the Precambrian fossil record is, as you say, a disturbing void for Darwinists.
Well, actually, it wasn't just me who said that the Precambrian fossil record is a disturbing void. There was an article in the journal Science that came out on December 23rd of last year, which said, quote, "Ever since Darwin, there has been a disturbing void, both paleontological and psychological, at the base of the Phanerozoic eon. If his theory of gradualistic evolution be true, then surely the Phanerozoic, pre-Phanerozoic oceans must have swarmed with living animals, despite their conspicuous absence from the early fossil record." So what this article is saying is that when you look at the pre-Cambrian fossil record, we do not see evidence of ancestors to the animal phyla, which appear quite abruptly in the Cambrian explosion.
I found the phrasing there very, very interesting because, as we've seen, there's a lot of different organizations that are extremely hostile toward the intelligent design movement because they assert absolute certainty about Darwinian evolution, and yet it's described there as a psychological problem as well as a scientific problem, as though, you know, there's these doubts that are lingering there that aren't typically addressed in open scientific circles.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty candid statement. You don't always see this kind of candidness, but yeah, I think that people are genuinely worried. Why is there no fossil evidence of gradual evolution of the animal phyla?
Prior to the latest research, what did the Precambrian fossil record consist of, and what was it thought to show?
Well, for the most part, for about 3 billion years, what you see in the Precambrian fossil record is bacteria. There are some eukaryotic fossils. Maybe starting around 2 billion years ago, we see some evidence of eukaryotes. We see fossils of algae. We see fossils called stromatolites, which are basically bacterial mats that grow in shallow lagoon-type environments. There are some enigmatic fossils. About 600 million years ago or so, about maybe 50 or so million years before the Cambrian explosion, called the Ediacaran fauna. Some people have said that these are not animals at all, that they're colonial structures built by single-celled organisms. Others have said that they are a form of animals, but the consensus is either way that they were not ancestral to the animal phyla that we see appearing abruptly in the Cambrian phyla. They're very different from anything that's alive today, and they don't seem to have the life cycles, the body plans, and the developmental patterns that we see in the animal phyla of the Cambrian explosion. So basically, they're not the evolutionary ancestors that everybody was hoping to find.
Well, what new means were there to analyze these fossils, and how did they change that previous thinking?
So there have been these fossils of what they thought were true animal embryos from about 600 million years ago. They were found in South China among an Ediacaran formation. And these embryos, because they consisted of many cells, people were hoping, well, maybe these were embryonic structures that reflected multicellular animals. And these were the long-sought-after multicellular ancestors of the Cambrian fauna. However, a new tomographic study of these cells, which was able to look at the internal structure of these cells, revealed that they are not multicellular organisms. Basically, they are single-celled organisms that divide within a ball and just keep making smaller and smaller copies of themselves. But each cell within the ball is an individual organism. They're sort of colonial-type organisms, and there have been suggestions that they were something like green algae species that we're aware of today, that they probably had life cycles very similar to that. So this new study that came out in the journal Science says that these are not multicellular animals. Then we look at these cells tomographically, that unfortunately for the evolutionary paleontologists, these were single-celled organisms. They were eukaryotes, but they were not multicellular animals. So once again, we have basically refuted another supposed ancestor or hopeful ancestor of the Cambrian fauna, and we're back to the psychological void again.
I find that so fascinating that the technology's advanced enough and they found a way, and that these single-celled organisms were preserved and fossilized, and you can still see inside the structure of the cell itself. That's incredible to me. Now, why is it important that the fossils are discovered to be single-cell and not multi-cell? What is the major impact there?
Well, obviously, the animal phyla, which appear in the Cambrian, are multicellular organisms. So if you're going to come up with evolutionary ancestors for the Cambrian phyla, you need to find multicellular ancestors in the Precambrian. And that's been the real problem, is finding multicellular ancestors in Precambrian strata that appear to be ancestral to the Cambrian fauna. That's the holy grail of Precambrian paleontology, and it is still something that is largely missing. They have a few potential fossils here and there that really are very enigmatic and not clear exactly what they are, and clearly do not document the evolution of the Cambrian phyla.
So one professor in the article reveals that this new information says much of what has been written about fossils for the last 10 years is flat wrong. And that's a quote from him, that it's the last 10 years is flat wrong. How is that possible? And what implications does that now have for research going forward?
So when paleontologists found these Precambrian embryos, so to speak, about 10 or 11 years ago, paleontologists immediately seized on these, hoping that they were the multicellular Precambrian animal embryo ancestors that they were hoping to find. As a matter of fact, one of the articles said that these embryos gave palpable relief to paleontologists when they were first discovered.
And again, so, that's the confession of more doubt than is let on by those who are so hypercritical of the ID movement for challenging Darwinism.
Oh, absolutely. So for the past 10 years or so, a lot of people have said, well, look, this solves Darwin's dilemma. We don't have to worry about the lack of Precambrian ancestors anymore. We found something that could be them, and this is the psychological boost that we need to get over these problems that we're having. But now they're back to square one. These were not multicellular organisms. When we look at them under special microscopic analysis techniques using computer tomography, it's very clear that they have structures that were not multicellular.
So piggybacking on that, now how does this new discovery hurt the claim that we read in this article that, quote, the reason why Precambrian multicellular evolutionary ancestors to the Cambrian animals aren't found is because the fossil record is incomplete?
Well, the incompleteness argument has long been used by evolutionary scientists to explain away any instances where they don't have evidence of evolutionary precursors or transitional fossils in the fossil record. However, one of the arguments we've seen regarding the Precambrian is that many alleged Precambrian ancestors were simply too small or too short-lived to have been able to have been preserved by the Precambrian fossil record. These fossils refute that incompleteness argument because we are talking about microfossils. We're talking about little balls of a few microscopic cells, and yet these were preserved in Precambrian strata. So it's clear that the Precambrian strata, which bore these fossils, was more than capable of preserving small, soft-bodied, short-lived organisms if they were there to be found. And what they do preserve are not the type of organisms which could serve as evolutionary precursors to the Cambrian phyla. So what these fossils show is that the fossil record conditions were capable of preserving the ancestors if they had been there, but yet we still don't find them.
So there's still that disturbing void that's been mentioned a couple of times. Now, the story reveals, quote, much of what has been written about fossils for the last 10 years is flat wrong. They quote a professor in the story. The same story also asserts in the premise of the entire article that, quote, all life evolved from a single-celled universal common ancestor, and at various times in Earth history, single-celled organisms threw their lot in with each other to become larger and multicellular, resulting, for instance, in the riotous diversity of animals. While the story also admits fossil evidence of these major evolutionary transitions is extremely rare, I was wondering, what is the evidence?
Well, the idea that multicellular organisms evolved from colonies of single-celled organisms is nothing new. I mean, we've heard that for years. And I mean, I guess if you're looking to explain the origin of multicellularity, that's probably the only game in town. We have many, many examples of living single-celled organisms that grow in colonies. So, I mean, that's nothing new. But what we have yet to see is a transition from single-celled organisms to true multicellular organisms, where these are now forming a single organism and are not, you know, individual cells that are still living on their own. So we have not yet seen this transition observed in the lab, at least as far as I'm aware. If we had, I'm sure we would have heard about it. The claim that all life evolved from a single celled organism, one single organism, I mean, even that has been called into claim in recent years by the phylogenetic evidence, where we're finding that the basic domains of life cannot be resolved into a phylogenetic tree that looks anything like a Darwinian tree. It's not a neat nested hierarchy. We cannot resolve the basic groups of organisms that live on Earth today into a consistent phylogenetic hierarchy. So the claim that we know for a fact that all organisms descend from a single, single common ancestor, I don't even think that that's supported by a lot of the data today. But yet you still see it being, you know, preached to the public as if it's gospel truth.
What I thought was interesting about it is here a story reveals orthodox thinking for the last decade at least has been totally wrong. And yet it starts off with this absolute certainty of something that has sparse evidence to it, but is widely perceived to be true.
Well, there are certain tenets of neo-Darwinian theory which are just beyond question. I mean, nobody's going to question those. So, I mean, the evidence might not support it, the facts might not support it, but we know it's true.
Add time and a little bit of mystery.
Oh, don't worry. I mean, you know, evolutionists are going to solve these problems. It's evolution of the gaps. All gaps will and guarantee that they will be solved by Darwinian theory. So this is just more evolution of the gaps type thinking.
Well, we're going to keep covering these gaps in podcasts of ID the Future. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast of ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. For more information or to donate to the Center for Science and Culture, go to idthefuture.com and click the yellow donate button. This podcast of ID the Future is copyright 2012, the Discovery Institute. All rights reserved.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.